Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Every evening, Mayor Ron Nuremberg and County Judge Nelson Wolf, they go before TV cameras. They give the city an update on where we are with the COVID-19 crisis. People tuning in have heard how the city has been shaken. Businesses ordered to temporarily close, the number of people who have died in the crisis. Now we're shifting into a different phase, trying to reopen the city, but the virus is still out there. We're joined by Mayor Ron Nuremberg. He's here to take your questions. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. Mayor Ron Nuremberg, welcome back to The Source. It's great to have you.
Great to be here, Dave. Thanks.
So we heard from Greg Abbott, Texas governor, his plan to reopen Texas, and he is very aggressive. What is your take?
You know, the governor Abbott's approach from the start of this and certainly through the last few weeks has been a little bit different than we've seen in other states, thankfully different than places like Georgia. You know, so the concern for us is that we continue to act with the best data and health guidance that we can to make sure that as we move through various phases of this pandemic response, that we're first and foremost protecting health and safety. The fact that the reopening plan that released this week is phased and is in consideration of various restrictive measures that account for the potential spread of the virus is encouraging. What I had concerns about and still have concerns about is the fact that we've moved into a new phase of reopening without really addressing the gating criteria that has been universally accepted by public health professionals, namely that communities that begin to reopen activities are demonstrating a sustained decline over a two-week period of the presence of the virus and new infections and hospitalizations, which we have not demonstrated universally in Texas and certainly not in the major metros.
Texas is a very, different state. We have all these counties, 254 counties, each one very different. And it seems like we're having this one size fits all for all of the state. And major metropolitan areas like San Antonio are very different than sparsely populated counties. Does it make sense that we are all going to be doing this the same way at the same time?
You know, on one hand, a uniform approach is important because we know this virus moves around. I mean, it only takes one infected person to really cause an outbreak. And so a uniform approach to make sure that we're closing vectors of disease transmission is important. But when it comes to reopening activities and loosening up of social distancing, which we at this point is our only tool for containing this virus, a uniform approach is actually a weakness. And again, it's because, as you said, there are different areas of the state that have different density, different kinds of social spacing that's present in normal times. And so we've got to be mindful of the fact that, you know, the pandemic response and containing of the virus really happens at a very hyper-local level. You can see that even in the East Coast, where some of the initial localized outbreaks occurred, there were some very small geographies that were locked down, neighborhoods that helped control some of the worst hit areas and keep those areas from spilling over. Same thing happens where we see localized outbreaks, even here in San Antonio, where we had the situation at Southeast Nursing and Rehabilitation. We treated that as a hyper local outbreak response, and we've been able to contain that. And so, you know, the fact that we're, you know, uniformly moving out of social distancing restrictions is a risk for which we really won't know the impact of for several weeks. We hope it works, and we hope we can continue to move in the right direction. The data indicates we are right now, but the impact of this is not something we see immediately. It's going to be some time before we see the effect of it.
Governor Abbott is not going to have a requirement for people to wear face masks in public spaces. He's leaving that up to a suggestion. That does undermine what you have laid out in San Antonio previously. Do you think that is an error?
I do. And it's primarily because we know that this is a highly contagious disease that is being transmitted often by folks that have little to no symptomatology. So the mask, is primarily to protect you as a or to protect other people from you in the event you might be carrying the disease and not even know it. Dr. Gutierrez is one of the scientists that has provided some good modeling data for or modeling for us with the data that's present. And he's made the point that the spread of this virus that we're seeing globally leads them to the strong belief that this is being driven in large part by asymptomatic carriers, which on one hand should give some folks comfort that, if they do end up getting sick, there's a strong likelihood that they'll be able to recover from the virus. But we know that it is in some cases indiscriminately affecting folks very seriously. We've seen people who have a clean bill of health, with no apparent underlying chronic conditions, die from this disease, and even young people. So there's a lot to be known about this virus and the body's response to it that we can't assume that just because you're healthy and young, that you're not going to be seriously affected. And so we've got to protect ourselves and protect others from us in the event there are carriers that don't even know it.
One of the best enforcers that we have of wearing a mask seems to be getting into your local HEB. Any idea? Are you in talks with HEB about what policies they're going to be adopting as this mask requirement becomes statewide optional?
Yeah, I would say that HEB has, by all accounts, been one of the most progressive and forward-thinking companies in terms of how they've prepared for and responded to the pandemic. They've gotten some national and international accolades for it, and one of those areas I believe they've done quite well in is to exhibit social distancing and also use of PPE on behalf of their employees who are, for all practical purposes, frontline employees, as well as for their customers. So I would anticipate they're going to continue a fairly aggressive approach to the use of masks, whether or not there's a state mandate to do so.
But you haven't heard anything from them. We're still waiting.
My understanding is they have mask signage and advisories posted in their stores and plan to continue the same practices, but the specifics of that I have not spoken directly to them.
We're taking a break. We have Mayor Ron Nuremberg with us for throughout the hour. You can call in, ask him a question. What do you want the mayor to know about your experience with COVID-19, and what do you want to know from the mayor? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll get to the phones and emails right after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're joined by San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg. Taking your questions, your calls, what do you want the mayor to know about your experience with COVID-19? The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. And we have Michael on the phones. Michael, thanks for calling in, and you're on the air with Mayor Nuremberg.
Good afternoon. I wanted to ask, if you're walking into a store, you're just walking down the street, and a policeman tells you to put on a mask, what should you do?
Okay. Did that happen to you?
It did.
And what did you do?
I always do what the policeman tells me to do.
All right. Thank you. So Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Thank you. And I believe the caller's name was Mark. Thank
Michael.
You, Mark for Michael. I'm sorry, Michael. Thank you for the question. I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. If someone suggests while you're walking down the street to put on a mask, it's probably a good idea. The general rule of thumb is that if you're going to be within 6 feet of someone who is not in your household, to assume that that person has the virus and to assume that you have the virus and could transfer it to them. So just go ahead and wear a mask. If you can't keep up the social distancing, this is one easy way that we can help to slow the spread. And I imagine that the mask life is going to be part of, our society until we can be assured that there's a vaccine to help control the spread.
What kind of mask you got?
So I've got a cloth mask that my stepmother made, and she's made actually several of them. So I use one a day. I throw them all in the wash at the end of the week.
So the idea of wearing a mask, we've got these professional bloviators on the radio frequently telling people that this is a violation of their rights, and that they shouldn't have to do these things. You shouldn't have to wear a mask. Somehow you're giving up your constitutional rights. And there's very little opportunity for another point of view to be expressed that this is not a violation of your rights, no more than stopping at a red light is a violation of your rights or driving on the right side of the road is a violation of your rights, because this is what we have to do in order to coexist in a tightly packed community, a city. So I was wondering if you could respond to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there clearly there has been a court precedent that ensures that in order for us to maintain the public health, there are times when issues like this can be advanced by the public, by the government. And this really is not a question of, constitutional rights. It's about making sure that, you are not transmitting, we are not transmitting the virus in our community in an effort to keep us safe. It's not, it's not intended to be a permanent matter. We just need to do this as a way of being cautious about the transmission of this disease. It's pretty commonsensical. And to suggest that your liberties are being violated because someone is asking you to wear a mask, I think is pretty short-sighted.
We have an anonymous email for you, Mayor. How does the mayor feel about some companies such as Valero requiring employees to return to the office as soon as Monday, even though their work can be done safely from their own home?
I can't speak to any specific company's policies, but I will say that in the energy industry, it is considered by the Department of Homeland Security to be an essential critical infrastructure. So they have always, in those industries, been on the allowed work list. It doesn't make it a requirement, but it does mean that those industries can operate. With regard to a specific company's policies on return to work, we would certainly encourage folks, if they can work from home or if an employer can allow employees to work from home, do that as much as possible while there's clearly a substantial community spread. It relieves a burden for social distancing on behalf of the employer because, if you're going to have people in an office, you've got to make sure there's proper precautions put in place and there's spacing and PPE as necessary. But it also, it helps to lessen the unnecessary movement that's happening that also potentially causes new vectors for disease. So if at all possible, work from home, but it's not something that we can mandate for an essential service or critical infrastructure.
Got another email from Libby. How should businesses that want to reopen handle employees who are not comfortable returning to work yet? Will healthcare costs be covered by the business if one of their employees returns to work and gets infected, or will employees be forced to deal with these costs on their own? This is especially important for part-time hourly workers who may not have employer-provided healthcare insurance.
You know, we certainly want employers and businesses to use caution with their employees. It's not good for anybody to go to work sick. It's certainly not good for anyone. And even in the announcements from the governor a couple of days ago, made it clear that we've got to take some extra precautions with our more vulnerable populations and those who are more severely affected by coronavirus. So if an employee is in that category or you know, feels unsafe going to work, I think the employer should take that into consideration. Overall, we have a reckoning in this country with regard to how we handle sick medical benefits and sick leave benefits. What's been made very clear is that it is a threat to the public the more people feel compelled to go to work despite illness. And that has to be accounted for, especially in the middle of this pandemic response.
We're getting ready to get into the heat of the summer here in San Antonio, and the heat can be brutal. It can actually be deadly. We frequently have stretches where we have heat advisories. The city opens things like cooling centers and encourages people to go to libraries and these places, especially if you're elderly and at risk, in order to, you know, cool off and survive the heat. What does that look like coming up with this COVID-19 social distancing?
Yeah, we are evaluating that right now. Obviously, it's made a little bit tricky in the heat of the summer when we're having social distancing to open community centers. But we are working on a plan in conjunction with the Health Transition Team to implement their guidance. And one of their specific areas of guidance is with respect to community centers. If we're going to open community centers specifically for an essential service like providing a safe, cool place to be in the heat of the summer, we have to increase physical distancing and hygiene enforcement. We also have to make sure that there's proper PPE available for people in those spaces. And otherwise, you know, exhibit the very best practices with regard to mitigating the risk of disease transmission in those facilities. It's the same thing with a grocery store or any other essential service where we know it's going to be difficult to social distance. We've got to put as much effort into risk mitigation in those areas as possible because we know that those services are absolutely essential for life to continue in San Antonio.
The swimming pools, the public pools that the city of San Antonio provides, a lot of people consider those things to be essential. Is the plan to reopen the community pools?
Part of the Health Transition Team's guidance is outdoor pools, and outdoor pools they note as acceptable to open in phase two. Phase two, again, is not something that we're currently, phase two is where we hope we are in soon with regard to how the data shows we're handling this infection. What we're looking for is a sustained decline in our case rate, our hospitalizations, and so forth. And we believe that if the social distancing continues, we're going to be there fairly soon. So I would anticipate that in the heat of the summer, we're going to be able to open up outdoor pools, provided that there are precautions in place for social distancing and ensuring that, you know, people aren't congregating unnecessarily, because we still have to be mindful of that. But as if we continue to see the trends in the data and there's no spike in the case rates, we should be able to open pools this summer.
And the city libraries, currently they're closed, right?
They are, and we're actually working on a transition plan for libraries right now. Under the previous stay home, work safe order, libraries are closed. They are still and will remain so, but I anticipate libraries opening up fairly soon as we get our transition plan. And again, when we say open back up, people have to realize that it's going to be in stages, and things aren't going to just all of a sudden be back to where they were 6 months ago. Opening up a library is going to look a little different than what it used to. The same way opening up a restaurant is going to look a little different than it used to. And we have to expect that. Things are going to happen in stages. There's going to be incremental opening, and that's how we'll do it safely.
And to get into the library, when you do open it up, well, I guess face mask will be required. It'll be hard to swim in the swimming pool with a face mask on, I suppose.
Yeah, well, face masks, again, important for slowing the spread of respiratory illness, respiratory disease. And so if you're not, unless you're breathing underwater, Dave, I don't anticipate you'll need a face mask on.
Yeah, I'll try that. We do have an email from Sarah. If Mayor Ron puts more restrictions in place to further protect the community, can Governor Abbott override them?
You know, the approach we've taken is that the governor, in his announcements a couple of days ago, set minimum standards for social distancing and the proper opening of businesses. We want to make sure that as we open activities, that we're not just seeking minimum standards, but we're also exhibiting best practices. So there are gaps, and there are things that are silent, things that the governor is silent on in his orders, and we want to make sure there's proper guidance in place. With respect to more restrictions, the governor does override those, but this is the way I look at it. The reason why we are successful in San Antonio so far with respect to physical distancing and containing this virus, the reason why we haven't been overrun in our hospitals is because people are seeing the data, they're getting the information, they're caring for one another enough to do the things that are necessary to slow the spread and save lives, some of which are in their own households. So as long as we continue to put out that guidance, some of which could be overridden by the governor if he deems it worthy to override. But as long as we put out the guidance and we continue to put out the data in a transparent manner, this community will continue to come together to do the things that are necessary to slow the spread of this disease and ultimately come out of this pandemic as quickly as possible.
So just to be clear, in the hierarchy of authority in these types of issues, the governor really is able to override any local edict or ordinance that you put in place?
The state could choose to supersede with some rare exceptions. It could, yes.
And so the best tools that you have in order to keep the community safe is through leadership, communication, and just trying to reason with people.
That's right. And anything that the governor is silent on, which, again, our orders are going to fill in gaps, are going to be specific with respect to best practices. And then other areas, such as the limiting of public gatherings, which we know were the first step in reducing the spread, we're going to be very clear about.
Okay, we're taking another break. Our phone lines are open. We have Mayor Ron Nuremberg with us on the line, and he will answer your questions. He does want to hear from you about your experience, what your concerns are with the coronavirus crisis. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Mayor Ron Nirenberg. He's here to take your questions as we talk about what's happening today with the COVID-19 crisis. How is it impacting you? What do you want to see as we try to reopen the economy, get people back to work, but keep people safe and stop the spread of the virus? The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR Talk, and we have Laura on the line. And Laura, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air with Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Hi, thank you. First of all, Mayor Ron Nirenberg, thank you for your calm, collected, eloquent, compassionate voice in all of this. My question is, I work for a business that just opened in January. The owner spent $150,000 of her own money opening it. And it was doing really well, and she'd hired some more employees. Anyway, it had to close. She had to close permanently. She made the decision about 2 weeks ago. I don't qualify for unemployment due to, I think that's not enough quarters of employment last year. Is there any recommendation that you have for me or any resource that I can turn to for a little stipend or a little subsidy? Thank you.
Okay, so that was not a great line. So Laura, first of all, she thanked you for the way you're handling things right now, Mayor Nirenberg. If she also wanted to know about compensation, if it's available for housing and businesses, it seems like losing her housing and her business is struggling.
Yeah, well, thank you for your question, Laura. And this is one area of great concern for all of us, especially as we were entering in to fairly uncharted territories with regard to having to restrict some businesses. So we have created a working group that is a collaboration of the city and the county to focus specifically on this issue of housing security. And we have now created a fund that actually we created a fund 2 years ago with respect to housing security to offer assistance to folks who are on the bubble, which happens on an annual basis, regardless of being in a pandemic response. But we were anticipating that this would be a huge need. And so we've actually increased that fund some 30-fold in cooperation with the city and the county. And so there is assistance available if you call the Neighborhood Housing Services Department to access some short-term rental resource assistance in the event that it's needed. And we know that it's a huge area of need right now.
And I also want to mention that tomorrow we are dedicating the hour to talking about the COVID-19 Emergency Housing Assistance Program from the City of San Antonio, how it works and how who qualifies and how residents can tap into that funding.
Great. And it's so needed. And I would like to say also that we've done this in an unprecedented manner. And I think a lot of cities around the state and in the country are also looking at San Antonio, how we did it, and we'll hopefully follow suit. In addition to that, we've also worked with the county and the courts to make sure that there are no evictions happening right now, that we can also, coming out of this, have some plans in place to make sure that renters have time to get reestablished, because we know that just because paychecks have stopped coming in, the bills have not, and we need some time to make sure everybody has a chance to get on their feet so that nobody's kicked out on the streets just because of this pandemic. The last thing I'll say is that the eviction moratorium is not just simply for housing. It's also for small businesses, small business tenants. So we are aware, I think, when we say we're all in this together, that everyone has to cooperate and make sure that we are not seeing the worst consequences of what could be from this pandemic.
Another caller, this is Martha. Hi, Martha. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. This is minor compared to housing and employment concerns, but I've spent a lot of time on the Greenway trails, and the pedestrians are able to practice social distancing. But I think it's impossible for bicyclists to social distance when there are people all over the trails. And for the sake of the children and the elderly, I wonder if the bicyclists could be encouraged to use the streets now that the traffic is lighter on the streets.
All right. Thank you for your question, Martha. Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Thank you for that, Martha. And certainly we want to have the parks and the trails accessible to people to get some fresh air and some relief from being cooped up all day during the stay-home orders. We actually are working on a pilot that will be presented here soon about making some neighborhood streets available, some arterials available for more pedestrian and bicycle use. So we hope we relieve some of that pressure. It's very difficult, obviously, on the trails to ensure there's 100% social distancing, which is why we're encouraging folks who are out on the trails to keep a mask with them. Even if they're not around anybody, going out alone, it's fine. Take a mask with you just in case, because the chances of you walking up onto somebody who's walking, or potentially being passed by someone who's on a bike, go up on those trails. So just keep a mask with you. But we're going to look for ways that we can relieve some of that congestion.
Another caller, Dan. Dan, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a musician, so I'm literally a gig worker, and it's real frustrating out here trying to register for unemployment and trying to see if I'm entitled to any kind of monetary thing. And I get things back from them that regarding people who are W-2 people, and I'm a 1099 person, and nothing seems to apply. Just wondering if the city has anything to tell us what to do out here, or a website. Do we keep posting on what's going on and what to do?
All right, Dan, thanks for the question. Mayor Wren.
Thank you, Dan. And gig workers and contractors are one huge area of weakness in the federal stimulus and the relief of workers in the country. And unfortunately, that's an area that still needs to be addressed. Here at the city, we are focusing on the social services safety net. So if there are some things that we can do to help Dan, we would like to, and you can call the Department of Human Services to see what programs are available for you. Direct paid benefit, though, is not something the city provides. But all of the other things that you would need we can connect with resources either coming from the city or other agencies. But we do want you to call in because we want to make sure that folks are having their basic needs addressed.
I have an email from Margaret. Is this potentially hasty reopening of businesses an effort to reduce the state's responsibility to cover unemployment benefits? It appears to push this burden back onto businesses since they are now allowed to operate.
Martha, I think that pressure, the bipolar pressure of the economy versus the health of our community, and this is happening all throughout the country, is an unfortunate and short-sighted response. What we have to ensure is that as we begin to open up, we do so carefully, and we do so in a methodical manner, which is exactly what we have sought to do here in San Antonio through our health transition and our economic transition teams. We're going to do that to the best of our ability with all of the authority that we have. But we have to understand that we don't have a resilient, durable economy or a healthy economy for the long run unless we begin to open it up and build it in a healthful manner. It starts with the health of the people. If the people are sick, they're not going to be able to work, and this economy won't function for the long run. So we're taking a long game approach, and we're going to push our electeds to do the same.
Let's go to Rick on the phones. And Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Mr. Mayor, I must take issue with your policies. According to my research, we have a 1.9 million population in Bexar County with a number of confirmed cases of 1,275 and mortality rate of 44 deaths. This is proving out to be not dangerous. It is it is contagious, and I will agree with that. But I think the drastic measures of shutting down this economy are way, way, way overboard. Thank you.
Okay, Rick, thank you for the question. And Mayor Ron Nuremberg, your response.
Rick, I appreciate that perspective. Now, what I would tell you is that, number one, it's the approach that we've taken has been guided by health professionals who are responding in concert across the world. And rare is it that there's uniformity in a novel virus response to the extent that not only are the public health professionals agreeing with the approach, but economists are as well. The fact that we've had only 1,300 confirmed infections, perhaps that's not a complete number because of the testing, but still, let's take the 1,300 infections. Let's be thankful also that there have been not more deaths than we've seen. And I would say that 44 is too much, but let's just say that that's a low number. The fact that we have begun, we had begun the effort to contain this disease back in February, and the community responded through various levels of social distancing, is the reason why we have those low numbers. The reason why we aren't at 90,000 infections, which the Gutierrez's model indicates, had we not put in social distancing restrictions, the thousands of cases that would be present in our community and the many, many multiples of deaths that would have occurred, is credit to the approach that we've taken. And we want to get out of this as quickly as possible. We will do that.
Okay.
It's fast approaching. It's because of the containment of this virus.
Taking another break. If you want to continue that answer, you can do that when we come back from this one-minute break. We have Mayor Ron Nuremberg with us on the air, and you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Mayor Ron Nuremberg. He's here to take your questions about what's happening with the COVID-19 crisis. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, back to that question that we had from the caller about, you know, are we overreacting? It's really not that bad. We're not seeing, you know, hospitals overwhelmed here in San Antonio. And then your response just now was like, well, it's because we put in the social distancing guidelines and we were able to really try to stop the spread and that was effective. And now that we're abandoning that or softening that, and there's a lot of weakness in what the governor is proposing, will we then see a spike in what we had tried to avoid happen? Could it happen?
Well, it could. We hope it won't. But let's be clear. We know that social distancing, the measures that we put in place, work. They work. That's how we've been able to flatten the spread or flatten the curve and slow the spread of this disease and make sure that our hospital systems were not overwhelmed. That's very clear. And so as we ease up social distancing, you know, that data and the effect of what we were doing is not going to be known for a couple to 3 weeks. So we hope it works, but it's going to mean that we're going to have to be mindful of the data, watch the data, make sure that we don't have spikes to overwhelm the hospitals or show that we're moving in that direction. Otherwise, we're going to have to go and reverse the loosening of the restrictions. Now, I would just again emphasize that yes, you know, the public health professionals will say that your measures to contain this virus may seem too much. That's when you know you're doing the right thing. And I would say our goal here is to save lives. Our goal is to save lives and to make sure that we have healthy people in our community. If the evidence is bearing out the fact that we have fewer deaths and fewer cases and hospital beds that are not being overwhelmed, I'd say we've been doing a pretty good job. I'm happy for the fact that we don't see more people dead in our community from COVID-19. That's a fact to be celebrated.
Part of the deal with Governor Abbott's proposal to reopen the economy is that businesses like restaurants and movie theaters operate at 25% of capacity. Enforcement of these types of crowd capacities typically fall upon cities from like the fire marshal. Is that something that the city is going to be being very aggressive in making sure that we adhere to 25% capacity?
Yes, we will. And it's critically important. In fact, it's deadly serious at this point that we are making sure that those kinds of measures are adhered to. And I would say that most businesses will be doing a very aggressive job of self-regulating, because part of opening up the economy again and getting the strength of our economy back is to ensure that we have consumer confidence. And, you know, the first thing people are going to want to know is that, am I safe going into your establishment? Exhibiting best practices with regard to social distancing and the use of PPE as necessary is one way you can build consumer confidence and ensure your business gets back to full speed.
But some stores, I go to Walmart, I go to HEB, there's someone at the door, looks like they're keeping a head count. Other places, not at all. And is that a store's responsibility? Is that something that city can require so that they actually are not having an overflow capacity inside the store?
So the 25% occupancy is something that will be enforced. And we hope that there's great cooperation from, you know, the establishments that will be opening up. I think it's incumbent upon them, and I think there's a great incentive to do so, as I mentioned, with consumer confidence. But in the end, it will be enforced. So, you know, we'll have to make sure that, again, if there are complaints, that we're addressing those.
And I would call who would I call? 911? I mean, I wouldn't call 911 for that, would I?
You could, the same way violations are reported currently, which is you can call 311. You can also call the non-emergency line at 210-207-SAPD. But we will take all of those very seriously because, again, this is one of our main tools for slowing the spread as we get into this next phase.
All right, back to the phone lines. Anthony, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Yes, my question is, for the employees that are being put in phase one, phase two, phase three, if a company isn't following the proper phases, do I as an employee have any options?
Anthony, thank you for the call. Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Thank you for the question, Anthony. With respect to the protocols and the requirements of a business under the orders, whether they're the state orders, the local orders, employee feels that their employer is not responding, and I would encourage you to, you know, make sure your employer knows, then they can also call it in, and we can have a conversation with the employer. And I think a lot of this has been education. Most of the complaints that we've had has just been a matter of having a conversation about best practices and how to perform these functions in a better way that adheres to the restrictions. But if necessary, those can be regulated.
And Sam, thanks for calling in, Sam. You're on the air with Mayor Ron. Okay, Sam's not there. So, Mayor, let me ask you about Fiesta. We had delayed Fiesta till November. What does the outlook look like now for Fiesta?
You know, I have to say it's a little cloudy based on what the CDC has been saying about the height of our seasonal flu at the same time as the potential for a second wave of the coronavirus. And I don't say that lightly, but Fiesta is scheduled for November. We have to make that clear. All of this conversation about Fiesta is purely speculative. But we're gonna be watching it as it gets closer and making the call at that point. And so I think we've got to ensure that we're making the right decisions and you know, not taking unnecessary risks, that would put ourselves in a harmful situation. But as of now, Fiesta is scheduled, and we will keep an eye on it as it gets closer.
we're seeing COVID-19 impact different communities in San Antonio very differently. We know San Antonio, highly economically segregated. We can look at certain zip codes and see them being pummeled by it. What does that tell you about the inequity that we have in the city when in regards to healthcare?
You know, I think this is one area that is going to have to be addressed at every level of government. And thus far in the American health care system, there has been a muted and minor role for local governments. But I think you're going to start to see cities, counties, local communities really take ownership of their health care systems in the void of state and federal leadership on the issue. You know, here in San Antonio, those numbers that you see in the zip code maps are evidence of potentially lack of access to healthcare, because we know that there is lack of access to healthcare in those areas. We're also potentially seeing some areas where there is a lack of testing. And so, you know, we have been working over the last month and a half to put out these teams, in some cases door to door, to make sure that people had the information about coronavirus, how to protect themselves, and how to access testing. We've actually started putting testing facilities in those areas targeted to those communities where we know that there has been a lack of access. So it's a number of things, but I think the takeaway from all of it is you're going to start to see the city of San Antonio, like cities and counties and communities all across this country, really step up with regard to healthcare and preventative or access to preventative healthcare and stop waiting for the state and federal government to do their jobs.
I have a question from Twitter. Does the city of San Antonio provide face masks like Houston does?
We are working to, we do provide face masks for first responders and frontline workers, medical professionals. We've been providing PPE for people who work with vulnerable populations, for our own employees. So we've been providing a lot of face masks and PPE. We are in discussions to provide more and for larger portions of the population based on the availability of that equipment. So the answer is yes, we have been providing, but who has been getting them is going to be increasing as it has been over the last few weeks.
So we got a ton of emails, all kind of along the same line about working and going to work, being required to go back to work on Monday, even though they'd rather work from home and they can do their job from home. But like Valero, they need to go back to work. Is the city of San Antonio still allowing their employees to go back to work? And what would you recommend companies do right now? I got about a minute.
I would encourage, if it is possible to work from home, the employers allow for that to happen. We are still in a period where there is substantial community spread of coronavirus, and everything we can do to slow that spread, which includes working from home and limiting movement and limiting the creation of new vectors of disease, is a good thing. City of San Antonio is going to continue our work from home for employees who are not engaged in activities where they have to be out of their house. So as much as possible, employers should be conducting telecommuting and other work from home opportunities for their employees.
Mayor Ron Nirenberg, thank you for joining us this hour on The Source. Very productive. I look forward to having you back again soon as we're able to inform the community about how to keep safe during the COVID-19 crisis. It was great having you.
You too. Thanks so much, Dave.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.